Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here again on a most awesome Sunday night because today is Pentecost Sunday. And that's very exciting for us Pentecostal charismatic types. It is the birthday of the church. It is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which took place in the upper room and has been going on since that time. The Holy Spirit has been poured out over all the centuries, is still being poured out today, despite what you see around you and things that you may hear. But he is guiding the church. He is guiding believers. He is empowering ministry. And we're going to talk tonight about what happened that first Pentecost day in the upper room in Jerusalem. And since this is the gift of grace and we read and teach God's word and we proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, all of that is done in the power of the Holy Spirit. And God's word, of course, is breathed out by the Holy Spirit. As we learn in 2 Timothy 3:16, the actual Greek that's used there is that God breathes out the scripture. So how awesome is that? He breathes out the scripture. And so the Holy Scriptures are a living, breathing word. And when we talk about Pentecost, we have to understand that, of course, it has Hebrew roots. And I would refer you to my website, www.oneinmessiah.website, or to the YouTube channel, which is One in Messiah, Gift of Grace Ministries, where you'll see some more extensive teachings about the origins of Pentecost in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh. What we call Pentecost, as you hopefully know, we use the Greek word that comes from 50 days. The Hebrew feast is called Shavuot, which means the Feast of Weeks. Because in the Old Testament, in the Torah, and more specifically in the book of Leviticus, God tells the people to count days, to count 7 weeks of sevens. And the following day, the 50th day, is a holy day called Shavuot. And when the Greek translation of the Old Testament was made, which you may know is called the Septuagint, was commissioned by Alexander the Great. In the Greek version, of course, it was called Pentecost, based on the term for 50 days. And so that has carried over, of course, into Christian time. And today is Pentecost Sunday across the Christian world. Shavuot was actually celebrated a few days ago on the 17th of May this year. They don't match up because, as you're probably tired of me saying, the Hebrews had a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar, and so the days don't always line up. Sometimes they do, and most of the time they don't. But anyway, so we see from the Hebrew feast that Shavuot, Pentecost, was related to Passover because it's roughly 50 days after the Passover. Not exactly, but we don't want to get into that. You can go to the other site and learn about that. So this outpouring of the Holy Spirit was in fact connected to Passover. Now, the year Jesus died, of course, he died on Passover. And he rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. And so you have here an amazing fulfillment of actually all of the spring feasts, because he dies on Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is all that following week. He is in the tomb. That third day was the Feast of First Fruits, which was the day of the resurrection. And then roughly 50 days later, let's say, was the Feast of Pentecost, was the Feast of Shavuot. So God fulfills the holy days that he gives the people to celebrate in the life of Jesus, and then, of course, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So, really pretty amazing. And This is why the scripture is so consistent. So we remember in the that this really starts then at the end, just at the time of the ascension, when Jesus gives his disciples the Great Commission. And he tells them to stay in the city. Don't go out and try to do anything yet. Don't go out today, because you guys will not be able to manage it. I mean, you don't have a great track record so far, but you will if you listen to what I say. And last week we talked about how he foretold that the Spirit of Truth would come, that the other Paraclete would come, the other Helper would come. And he was the Spirit of Truth, and he would remind them of everything that Jesus had said, that he would glorify Jesus, would talk about Jesus and not talk about himself, and then would empower them, the apostles, the disciples, to go into the world and preach the gospel, starting in Jerusalem, because, of course, the word has to start in Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, the word of God always goes forth from Jerusalem. And so all these things were told to them, and interestingly, they obeyed. They went in the upper room, and for 9 days they prayed. There were no divisions. The scripture says they were praying in one accord. And as I like to point out, this was probably the only time in Christian history where there was Christian unity, because over those 9 days or so, they prayed in one accord. It says there were no divisions among them. They didn't argue about anything. They didn't divide themselves into groups. They were of one accord, one heart. Accord, of course, comes from the Latin for one heart. And so they had a spirit of unity. And this was also prefigured in Psalm 133. And Psalm 133 is very short. You should be able to memorize it. So you can read that for your homework. But it's one of the Psalms of Ascent that you would say when you were going up the steps to the temple. Well, you wouldn't say it. You would sing it. And it basically says how beautiful it is when brothers dwell together. And there's oil that's poured out, and there's dew that's poured out, and in an abundance. And it covers the clothes, the robes of Aaron. It covers the fields. And these are all images of the Holy Spirit. And while they were in the upper room, praying together in one accord, the Spirit was poured out. And so in Acts chapter 2, I'm just going to read a little bit of it, starting in verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, here they were in the upper room. They had received the Great Commission. They had spent 9 days praying, 9 days in unity. The only thing Jesus had told them was to wait in the city until this happened, till they were clothed with power from above. And then they would be his witnesses. That's why Pentecost is commonly called the birthday of the church, because evangelization starts. Power evangelism starts. The disciples go out into all the world to preach the gospel, and they are totally empowered. And it connects to the Hebrew feast of Shavuot, as the writer there, who is St. Luke, points out, when the time of Pentecost had fully come. In other words, it was the 50th day. I forgot to mention before that during the time between Passover and Pentecost, you count each of the days. It's called counting the Omer. And when you get to 49, the next day is Pentecost. And so that's why Luke says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, now you don't have to count anymore. This was an amazingly powerful event, as we see, that there was a mighty rushing wind. Everyone in the city apparently heard this, because in the next few verses, it talks about how people who were in Jerusalem came over to see what was going on. Now, I also should have mentioned at the beginning that that Pentecost, Shavuot, is one of the three pilgrimage feasts. Every man was obliged to go to Jerusalem for three of the seven holy days, one of which was Shavuot. So there were many, many thousands of people more in Jerusalem than normally would be there. And they were Jews from all different parts of the world who were amazed that these Galileans, who were so uneducated, were speaking in a way that they each understood in their own language from the place where they were from. So this wind, which is a manifestation of the Spirit, in Hebrew the word is ruach, which means spirit or wind or breath, and in Greek it's pneuma, which can mean spirit or wind or breath. Interesting, in both biblical languages, one word has the same meanings. This fire that came into the room was not just a fire that kind of filled the room. There was a tongue of what appeared to be fire on the head of each of the 120 people that were in the upper room. There were not just the apostles there. At this point, there would still be 11. They would have had Matthias by then. But it wasn't just the 12. Mary was there. And there were 120 people altogether. So obviously there were men and women. And each person in the room got a tongue of fire over their head, which means that each person got gifts from the Holy Spirit. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which I'm sure you have, it's all about the gifts of the Spirit coming. There are many gifts, but one Spirit, the same Spirit. In Ephesians 4, Paul tells us that the gifts are given for the building up of the church, for the building up of the body, not for your own enjoyment and not so you can brag to your friends about which gifts you got, but they're for building up the church. They're for building up the body. In fact, Paul compares it to different parts of the body all working together so that the body functions as one unit. And so these gifts came on everyone there. If you've had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you probably know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you should look into going somewhere where you can. And so the other thing that it's really kind of interesting here is that it was the first day of the week. It was a Sunday. The resurrection happened on a Sunday. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened on a Sunday. And the Sabbath, of course, was Saturday. These people who were in the upper room wouldn't most likely have been all Jews, all Jewish believers at this point, who were used to celebrating the Sabbath, the Shabbat. Sunday was a regular work day. And if you go to Jerusalem, which I hope someday you get a chance to go. I can't wait to go back. When you wake up on Sunday morning, the first thing that strikes you is there's bumper-to-bumper traffic. There's people running around because Sunday is a regular work day. You can have doctor's appointments on Sunday afternoon. You got to go to the office on Sunday. But here, the resurrection occurs on a Sunday, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, occurs on a Sunday, the first day of the week. And so this became known as the Day of the Lord and became the generally accepted worship day of Christians, mostly because of the resurrection, but Pentecost also happens on a Sunday. And the Spirit didn't come in a cloud this time. You know, in the wilderness, when the people were in the wilderness, they had the Shekinah glory, which was the physical manifestation of God. The Bible talks many times about clouds. I think we went through this a couple of weeks ago on the program about all the different places in the Old Testament, New Testament, right down to the book of Hebrews, saying we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Here, the Spirit doesn't come in a cloud. He comes with light, which is the fire, and power, which is the wind, which is also the breath. And just like in the creation account, at the beginning of the book of Genesis, it tells us that Adam is made out of clay, and the Spirit, capital S, breathes into Adam's nostrils, and he becomes a living being. Here, the Spirit breathes out on the upper room with a mighty rushing wind, and these, you know, kind of nice, interested people who are pretty ineffective overall suddenly become empowered evangelists. So the Spirit comes suddenly in with power and with fire. Fire, of course, purifies things. You know, when you purify a metal, you burn it in the fire, and the metal melts and is poured off. The impurities stay behind. Fire also makes light. Fire also kindles other fires. You light another fire by using the fire you already have going. So all these things were manifested in the fire that was poured out. And so everyone in the room is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And everybody starts to speak in tongues. This is the opposite of what happened at the Tower of Babel, where the languages were separated. Now there's a common language which brings faith. In other words, when these apostles got the gift of tongues, everyone understood their message, even though they had different language backgrounds. And we see such a change that occurs in these guys that the people who saw them were amazed and they marveled to one another. Verse 7, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Down to verse 12, because then it tells us that the book of Acts takes great pains to show how all these people were from different places, all different languages. But you go down to 12, it says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what could this mean? What does this mean? How do we understand them like this? So the whole crowd is amazed. And what's even more amazing then, and I think we're going to do this as a second show, because, you know, this show goes in a few minutes, I'll be saying, oh, no, the music's playing already. But you see the change that takes place, especially in the men who are the apostles. Peter, for example, is totally changed. There's now an empowerment by the Holy Spirit, a free flow of the Spirit. And now, like Jesus had told them, they remembered things that he said. They understood the plan of salvation. They finally understood that all the years that they had gone to the synagogue on the Shabbat and had heard the readings, they now understood that the readings all prefigured Jesus. The readings all pointed to the Messiah. And as Jesus says in the book of Matthew, when he's talking to the leaders, he says, all the scrolls are about me. And Peter and these other men who start to preach understand this. They understand the plan of salvation. So here are these uneducated working men from a backwoods area that are now quoting scriptures. They're reaching people from different places and in different languages. And interestingly, it goes back to in John 14. I don't have it in front of me now, so I think it's around verse 10 or 12. Jesus said that they would do greater works than he did. And I used to read that and think, wow, how could that be possible? That can't be possible. And when they heard him say that, they probably said, what is he talking about? How can we do greater works than he did? Well, they started not only to do the healings and the preaching, but they had the gift of tongues. They reached so many more people. In fact, we know, we'll talk about this more next week, that Peter reaches 3,000 people that day that are saved. So in about the first, 15, 20 minutes of church history, 3,000 people are saved. That's pretty good work. And so they were, in a way, doing greater works than Jesus had done. And all these people from different places, with different backgrounds and different languages, were impacted. And Peter even points out to them that this was prefigured by the prophet Joel, that the Spirit would be poured out on all flesh. And we'll talk about that next week. But because I mentioned this is the birthday of the church, two things I should mention about the original holiday Pentecost, the original feast day, Shavuot. And I'm always amazed when I realize that there's only 7 holy days that God tells us to celebrate. And they're all in the Old Testament, and they're all in the Torah. There's 7 of them. The New Testament doesn't say anything about holy days, doesn't say anything about celebrating anything. But the 7 feasts of Israel, as they're sometimes called, the 7 feasts of the Lord, as they're commonly called. Pentecost, if you read about it in Leviticus 23, it was originally a festival for the wheat harvest. The Feast of First Fruits was for the barley harvest, which was much smaller than the wheat harvest. So Jesus rises on the Feast of First Fruits, of course, and Paul says he's the first fruit of the resurrection. We went over that at Easter time. The wheat harvest was the big harvest. So the birthday of the church, the outpouring of the Spirit, correlates with a big harvest, and the harvest is still going on. The harvest did not stop that year, or the following year, or 10 years later, or 100 years later, or 2,000 years later. It is still going on every day. There's wheat being harvested. There's people being harvested every day. And it was also celebrated as the day that the law was given on Mount Sinai, because it was the 50th day after they had left Egypt. Now, that doesn't say that in Leviticus, but it became known later as, I guess you could say, a tradition that Pentecost came to symbolize the giving of the law. So while Moses got the written law, wrote down the law, I should say, all 613 laws, on Mount Sinai in the cloud, in other words, under the influence of the Holy Spirit in the cloud, Moses gets the law. And on Pentecost morning, these people in the upper room are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the new covenant begins. The new covenant begins, which is not a covenant of law, but of course is a covenant of grace. And Peter is speaking, we're going to talk about this next week, Peter is speaking to the Jews, which is what the gospel tells us to do. You give the message to the Jew first, and then the Gentile. And Peter's following that, and Paul always follows that in all his trips through Greece and Italy and the whole Roman, Greek-Roman world. And, of course, then to the Gentiles. So this harvest feast becomes really huge because Gentiles are also being included in the harvest. It isn't just for Israel. And so the fruit of the kingdom is going to be from everywhere, from everyone. Many times in the prophecies, especially in Isaiah's book, it talks about how Gentiles are going to be included in the kingdom. And at this point, these men don't really understand that, but in a very short amount of time, they're going to see Gentiles coming to faith in the Jewish Messiah. And so this outpouring of the Spirit, which is poured out on all flesh in the new covenant, now empowers evangelization and ministry and produces the fruit that's produced in the kingdom. And as Jesus had foretold that we talked about last week, the Spirit of truth came. Now they understood scriptures. They remembered what Jesus said. They knew what they had to do, where they had to go. And these men, and the women too, everyone who was in that upper room, were completely different at 9:10 a.m. that morning than they were at 9 a.m. Because the scripture even tells us it was 9 in the morning when the Spirit fell. So that's why we're so excited today. So happy Pentecost, joyous Pentecost to everyone. Hallelujah. And next week we're going to talk about Peter and what he does that day. So I hope you'll join us. So have an awesome week and come back again next Sunday night.